Hi, good morning. Can you guys hear me okay? Okay, very good. Yeah, good morning. This is a very special Sunday. This is Palm Sunday. And usually Palm Sunday in many churches is the start of Holy Week. And this morning we remember our Lord Jesus Christ riding into Jerusalem on a donkey in fulfillment of Scripture. Okay, and so let's go ahead and bow in a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we just want to praise you and thank you that this week starts Holy Week, and we just remember our Lord Jesus Christ, how he came as a servant for us, as a Son of God, to fulfill all scriptures, to die on the cross for our sins, be raised up from the dead. And Lord, today as we just look through this passage and remember the Palm Sunday, will you just bless our time together as we read your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, so we'll be taking a look at a scripture together. Yeah, and I want to thank the tech team for kind of refreshing the PowerPoint a little bit. So let's give a hands up for them. Yay, very good. Okay, so can you read that okay? Okay, let's read this together. Matthew 21, 1 to 22. Let's read it together. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. "Say to daughter Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey and on the colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd spread. Okay. All right, I see. All right, sorry about that. I think, can you go to the next slide? I think we're right here. Crowds. Okay, got it. Got it. Okay. All right. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven." When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." And Jesus entered the temple courts and drove out all who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves. "It is written," he said to them, "My house will be called a house of prayer, but you're making it a den of robbers." The blind and the lame came to him at the temple, and he healed them. But when the chief priests and the teachers of the law saw the wonderful things he did, and the children shouting in the temple courts, "Hosanna to the Son of David," they were indignant. "Do you hear what these children are saying?" they asked him. "Yes," replied Jesus. Okay. "Yes," replied Jesus. "Have you never read, from the lips of children and infants, you, Lord, have called forth your praise?" And he left them and went out of the city to Bethany, where he spent the night. And early in the morning, as Jesus was on his way back in the city, he was hungry. Seeing a fig tree by the road, he went up to it, but found nothing on it except leaves. Then he said to it, "May you never bear fruit again." And immediately the tree withered. When the disciples saw this, they were so amazed. "How did the fig tree wither so quickly?" they asked. And Jesus replied, "Truly I tell you, if you have faith and do not doubt, not only will you do what was done to the fig tree, but also you can say to this mountain, 'Go, throw yourself at the sea,' and it will be done. If you believe, you will receive whatever you ask in prayer." Okay, praise the Lord. And may the Lord bless the reading of his word. And this is an extended reading, and I usually we just read the passage where Jesus rides on a donkey and shouts Hosanna. But I wanted to also read about the fig tree because it's really important to get the whole picture, you know, of what was happening and why Jesus was saying what he did. Okay, and so one of the things that's really important to realize as we're looking at this Palm Sunday event is to ask a question: what type of Messiah did the people expect him to be? Because when Jesus is going into Jerusalem and riding on a donkey, you know, that's fulfilling Zechariah 9:9. And so there were some very high expectations among the people, and they were expecting him to be a certain type of Messiah. Okay? Like, for example, they were expecting him to be like King David. And King David was a powerful king. He fought the Philistines, the Ammonites, the Moabites, and all these Ite people, and wiped out the enemies of Israel, okay? And then, you know, he never lost a single battle, and he set up the kingdom of God in Jerusalem. And those were kind of like the golden era in the Israel history, okay? So they thought he was going to be like King David, and then to overcome the Romans, all the enemies of God, and then set up the kingdom of God on earth in Jerusalem. Or else they thought that he was going to be like Judas Maccabeus during the Intertestamental period. You know, the Jews were being conquered by the Greeks, and there was this very terrible emperor called Antiochus Epiphanes. He desecrated the temple and offered pig's flesh in the temple. And a pious group of people led by Judas Maccabeus, they cleansed the temple. And they got rid of all the terrible stuff, and they were able to set the kingdom of Israel on earth for a brief period of time. Okay, and that's why people celebrate Hanukkah in Jewish people, because they commemorate the cleansing of the temple. So that was Judas Maccabeus. So they were thinking that he would be someone like Judas. Okay, but Jesus wasn't any of these things, because he came to be our suffering servant. Okay, and he came to fulfill Scripture. So as we're reading this passage today, and as we're thinking about what it means, let's think about what expectations about Jesus do we have today. Are we willing to submit to what the Word of God says about who he is? And you know, maybe we might have some false expectations like that the Jewish people did. Okay? And so today, one of the main points I wanted to share from this whole passage is that we need to honor Christ as our King with great reverence and worship. So there are three ways that we can be able to honor Christ as our King. First, we honor him as a promised King who fulfills Scripture. Secondly, we honor Christ by making his house a house of prayer. And then number three, we produce fruit in our lives to glorify him. And I would like to show a clip from the Jesus film, and this is from the Gospel of Luke. I just want to give you a little visual presentation of how this looked like back then as we were looking at Palm Sunday. Now, we read from Matthew, but the Jesus film is from Luke, which is very similar. So I'd like for us to take a look at this.
Even though Jesus knew he was going to be killed for the sins of mankind, he resolutely took the road to Jerusalem. He sent two of his disciples to bring a donkey. As he rode along, the crowd rejoiced and praised God, proclaiming Jesus as King.
tell you if they were to be quiet. The stones themselves would begin shouting. If only. On this your day you had known the path for peace, but you have failed to see it. The days will come when your enemies will build ramparts to surround you and hem you in, pressing hard from every side. And within these walls they will destroy you. You and your children. And they will not leave one stone upon another in you because you did not recognize the time of your visitation.
Okay, that's good. I just wanted to give you a little visual so you kind of see what it looks like over there. And one of the things that we can honor the Lord Jesus Christ on Palm Sunday is to realize he's the promised king who fulfilled all these prophecies in Scripture. So let's take a look at some of the Scriptures that he fulfilled on when he was here on earth. He was born of a virgin in Bethlehem, Isaiah 7:14. He established the kingdom of God and worked miracles, Isaiah 61:1. He rode to Jerusalem on the donkey in Zechariah 9:9. He also was betrayed for 30 pieces of silver in Zechariah. And then he died on the cross, and then he rose on the dead for the third day. That's in Isaiah 52 and 53. And so the Lord Jesus Christ, he came on his first coming. He came as a prophet, priest, and king. And he did not come as a conquering Messiah, but he came as a suffering servant. And so a lot of people did not realize that. You know, he had to come, and he had to fulfill all the Scriptures in the Old Testament. And then he worked miracles, and then he died on the cross for our sins. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. Okay, and so he's the one who fulfilled all these Scriptures. And one of the great Bible teachers that really influenced me when I was growing up as a Christian was this guy named Josh McDowell. I don't know if any of you heard about who Josh McDowell was, but he influenced me a lot because he used to be an atheist. And he didn't believe in Christ until one day someone challenged him, say, you know, take a look at the Lord Jesus Christ and read the Bible for yourself and realize all these Scriptures, that prophecies written thousands of years ago, they were all fulfilled in him. So he took that challenge. So he looked at every one of those Scriptures, and then to his surprise, he thought, this is totally amazing. And all these Scriptures, like from Psalms, from Zechariah, from all these books in the Old Testament, written hundreds of years apart by different people, they were fulfilled pinpoint accuracy in the Lord Jesus Christ. Very, very precise. And I remember reading that book, and that really stirred my heart when I was first seeking God and learning about Jesus, that Jesus is who he claimed to be. And one of the prophecies is Zechariah's prophecy here. Let's read this together. Zechariah 9:9. Rejoice greatly, daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly, and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. Now, what was amazing was this was written 500 years ahead of time. And so when you saw that clip, you know, he's riding on the donkey, okay, and he's looking over Jerusalem, and he's basically saying, if only you knew that I am coming to visit you. You know, I'm God the Son who comes to visit you. If only you had responded, then, you know, God would not have judged you, okay? And so he was fulfilling every Scripture that was written about him. And also, Jesus, in his first coming, he came to establish the kingdom of God, and then he came to deal with our greatest enemies. People thought that the greatest enemy was the Romans, but the greatest enemy is what? Sin. Okay? And the greatest enemy is death and Satan. And so when he fulfilled all the prophecies, then he is being righteous so that we don't have to be righteous. He fulfilled all the laws of God and all the ceremonial moral laws of God so that he can impute his righteousness on us. And he died on the cross for our sins as a criminal. Okay? He died so that we don't have to die. And then he was raised from the dead, so we have the assurance of life. And then he came to reconcile us to God, to bring us a peace to God. Okay, and so it's during his second coming that he's going to be coming as the warrior king, destroy all the enemies of God. So we're waiting for that. And in the meantime, we're to live holy and godly lives and to share the gospel to all the people to the ends of the earth. Share it with your neighbors, your friends, so that they can be saved, and then he will come back. Okay, and so that's kind of a brief overview of God's plan and purpose for Jesus' first coming and then also his second coming. And so this morning, I want to challenge us today is, are we willing to worship and honor Christ as our King? You know, are we willing to accept his gift of salvation? Are we willing to use our lives to honor him, to show people the way to salvation and to bring glory to him? In Matthew 21, verse 12 and 13, it talks about the second principle, how we can be able to honor Christ, is to honor Christ by making his house a house of prayer. Now, right after he rode the donkey into Jerusalem, this next thing he did was he cleared the temple of the money changers. So let's read this passage together in Matthew 21, verse 12 and 13. Jesus entered the temple courts and drove out all who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves. It is written, he said to them, my house will be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a den of robbers. Now, why did he do that? It shows his zeal for the temple. He wanted to make, you know, the temple a house of prayer where people come to worship God and honor God. Now, you have to realize during this time, you know, in Jerusalem, there were a lot of businessmen who went into the temple and they wanted to make a lot of money. Okay, and if you went to the temple in those days, in order to buy the animals for sacrifice, you have to pay a temple tax. Okay, and they, the money changers, they were the ones who exorbitantly raised the exchange rate. Okay, so they made it like many, many times what it was worth, and they were making lots of money. Okay, so let me give you an example. Okay, like for example, one U.S. dollar is worth about 8 Hong Kong dollars. Anybody from Hong Kong? Okay, and so can you imagine if the exchange rate was, instead of $1 for 8 Hong Kong dollars, it would be $1 for 3 Hong Kong dollars? Okay, you would think that, oh, that's really cheating people, right? Okay, and then, for example, in Taiwan, one U.S. dollar is worth about, what, 333 Taiwanese dollars? Okay, what if someone were to fix the exchange rate to one U.S. dollar is 10 Hong Kong dollars? Or you see the point? That's what they were doing in the temple. Okay, they were totally cheating people. And then, you know, the religious leader probably were taking a cut of the profits as well. Okay, and so when Jesus went into the temple, he was so mad, okay, because they were making, he was making this house, not a house of prayer, but a house of commerce. Okay, so he drove out the money changers. Okay, and so in the same way, we, as we come here, you know, we can talk about a lot of things, but let's make it a house of prayer. And let's pray for people. And it should be a regular thing. And when we come, we can say, can I pray for you right now? Okay? And so we can bring honor to the Lord Jesus Christ by making a house of prayer. I wanted to show you this clip, this picture. This is one of my favorite pictures when I was teaching at Biola. And this Bob Fulton and my good friend Paul Freyla. And we were praying for this young lady. Usually in the Biola classes, a lot of times they teach, but they don't really pray for the students. Okay, so we always pray for the students. And this young lady, you see that Bob is putting his hand on this young lady. Her name is Karen. That's not her real name, but call her Karen. And the guy standing next to him is Daniel. Okay, what was really amazing is that we were talking about the kingdom of God during that time. And Bob Fulton was talking about Jesus and the kingdom and how he did miracles and healed the sick and set the captives free. And so at that time, what I usually do, said is, now you heard a lecture about the kingdom of God, and I want you to experience firsthand. Okay, and so these students came up afterwards, and they were willing to receive prayer. Now, that lady, Karen's boyfriend, he's the son of a very prominent New Testament scholar called Mark Strauss. Okay, and he wrote many commentaries. And so Daniel, he's a guy who knows everything about everything. Like, I would ask him a question, he would be one of those students that always answer the questions, you know, one of those people who knows everything. Okay, that's Daniel, okay? And what was really amazing was his girlfriend, Karen, was suffering from very deep emotional trauma. And it was actually due to a curse and due to an evil spirit, okay? And so here's Bob, and he's putting his hands on her, and God gives Bob, Pastor Bob, a word of knowledge. Okay, he says, yeah, you are suffering from this and this and this, and you know, God's going to set you free today. And it was pinpoint accurate. Okay, and they were just blown away, like Daniel never seen this before. All those other people never seen this before. And make a long story short, when Pastor Bob prayed over her, she was completely set free. You know, and then she, instead of sorrow, she had so much joy. And she was just beaming and said, you know what, I was suffering for such a long time. I was in deep depression. And, you know, when Pastor Bob prayed for me, I experienced the kingdom of God. Isn't that amazing? And so that's what happens too. You know, like last week, when we had the Hope Multiplied, it was amazing. I want to thank Angela and Kendra for setting that up and all of us. You know, and it was really amazing last week, right? Last week we had people hearing from God. We had people being set free. We also had people being filled with the Holy Spirit. It was amazing. Okay, it was really amazing. And so, my friends, when we honor the Lord Jesus Christ and make this house this house of prayer, you know, God will show up and God will honor us. And, you know, one of the biggest praises is just this building, right? We were able to raise the funds to pay off this building. That was a great praise to the Lord Jesus Christ, okay? I know, I'm sorry, this is a little bit older picture, but I wanted to get, you know, we had a really good time praying. Like, this picture was a number of years ago, but, you know, we kept praying and praying for over 9 years, and then God supplied this great building. Isn't that great? Okay, so we make this place a house of prayer. So one of the models in Vineyard is, can I pray for you right now? And so we can honor each other by praying for each other every time we meet. You know, instead of talking about secular things or entertainment, we can just say, hey, you know, how can I pray for you? Or how has God answered your prayers today, this week? Okay, so I wanted to ask Kendra to come up this time, and I want her to share a testimony of how God answered prayer for her. And this is regarding the treasure hunt that happened a couple of weeks ago.
Can I share a different story?
Sure, that's fine.
Is that okay?
Whatever God leads
you to. The treasure
you
hunt share. Story is awesome. Come ask me about it after service. It's really good, and you should come to the treasure hunt, which will be in a couple Sundays. I can't remember the date right now, but it'll be at the end of April. But I wanted to share about another friend that I have. She's an elderly woman. She lives alone, and she struggles a lot with just depression and, like, a lot of pain from her past. She's divorced. Like, her husband cheated on her. She's estranged from her daughter. And you can imagine, like, living by yourself and living with all of those, like, deep hurts and wounds. She just goes through a lot of things, and The other day, we spend some time together, like usually once a week, and the other day we were driving, and usually it's like after work, and I feel like I have nothing to give her, right? I'm just like, I'll drive you to the store, but that's all I could do. Like, I'm so tired, you know? But I always feel like God's asking me, like, just pray for her, just pray for her. But, and it seems so small, like it seems like it won't really do anything. But just this past week, I asked her if I could pray for her, and then I just prayed for God's, like, peace to come on her, and that he will, like, free her from all these things that she's been going through. And every time I'm obedient and I pray for her, like, on the spot, I always feel like God's peace and joy just comes, like, right then. And I feel like it's because there's, like, a sacrifice involved, and God is really honored in that, and also that that's how, like, his kingdom comes, like, when we step out, like, I'm thinking about John's story, too, like, when we step out and we pray for people and we feel like it's nothing, like, it's just my words, but it's really, really powerful. It's God's power working through us, and he, even though he wants to do that thing and he wants to love on that person, sometimes he can't do it unless we're able to step out and work with him, like, to do what he's doing, right? So I was just really encouraged by that. And she always tells me, like, well, it just feels so much better. And, like, you can see, like, the joy on her face every time we pray together. So, yeah, praise God.
Okay. Praise the Lord for that testimony. Yeah, I just really appreciate Sister Kendra because, you know, she's really praying for people wherever she meets. Last Thursday, we had a great Jay Bartlett meeting, and we had several newcomers that came to the Jay Bartlett. He ministers in deliverance and inner healing. And there was this Egyptian woman that she came for the first time, and she doesn't know what to expect. And you know, right away, Pastor Jay had a word for her, which was really accurate, and saw that she had some inner bondages that need to be set free. And she was able to be set free. And there were several other people who have bondages were completely set free. And, you know, we had three newcomers, non-believers who came, and that they accepted Christ last week. So I just want to let you know that God is doing some great work. So next Friday is Good Friday. We have a special program here, so please come to that. If afterwards you're interested, Jay Bartlett's going to be in the VOH building, and come and check it out and see the kingdom of God at work. And so this leads us to the third application, and that is, how can we honor Christ our King is by bearing fruit in our lives. Now, you see this really terrible picture, okay, and it's black and white, and it's really bleak looking. Now, this is probably what Jesus was looking at, okay. He looked at this fig tree, and then he cursed the tree, and then it withered, all right. Now, when I was reading that passage in Matthew 21, 18 to 22, I had a question. It's like, why would Jesus do such a crazy thing like that? I mean, what kind of miracle is that? You know, cursing a fig tree, okay? And then it dawned on me, why did Jesus do that? It's because the fig tree represents all the people in Jerusalem, okay? They were supposed to bear fruit. They were supposed to honor Jesus, accept him as their Messiah, and obey the word of God, but they didn't. They rejected Jesus, and they were wicked. And just like the money changers, they were making the house of God a den of robbers. And so when Jesus was looking at Jerusalem, he was cursing the fig tree, all right? And this leads us to another passage in Scripture in Isaiah chapter 5. Hopefully you can be able to see that. This is called the Song of the Vineyard. In Isaiah 5, verse 4 and 5, and verse 7, we can read this together. This is what God says. It says, what more could be done for my vineyard than I have done for it? When I looked for good grapes, why did it yield only bad? Now I'll tell you what I'm going to do to my vineyard. I will take away its hedge, and it shall be destroyed. I will break down its wall, and it will be trampled. The vineyard of the Lord Almighty is the nation of Israel. The people of Judah are the vines he delighted in. And he looked for justice, but saw bloodshed, for righteousness, but heard cries of distress. And so that's what happened. Now, Jesus was looking for righteousness, for repentance, but they refused, and they even blasphemed God. The religious leader says, Jesus did all these miracles by the power of Beelzebul, you know, and they refused to believe in him. And then later on, all the people that were saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, you know, a couple of days later, they were yelling, crucify him on the cross. Okay, and so that was what was happening at that time. And so the cursing of the fig tree is a symbolic gesture depicting God's judgment on Israel for rejecting the Messiah. But you know what? The good news is this. God never likes to end his word on judgment, but always restoration. And he promises that there's going to be a new vine and new branches. Okay, let's read this together. John 15, verse 5 and 8. Jesus said, I am the vine, and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. And apart from me, you can do nothing. And this is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourself my disciples. So Jesus knew that Israel was going to reject him and disobey him. But he came to set up the new Israel. So the 12 apostles are the 12 tribes. Okay, and we are the Gentiles. We are also included into the new Israel. And so we are to bear fruit to honor the Lord Jesus Christ. So this morning I would like to just challenge you today that are we willing to bear fruit for the Lord Jesus Christ? Are we willing to honor and obey Jesus? Are we willing to put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? And one of the ways is to share the gospel with people. I was so encouraged by people who went on the treasure hunt a couple of weeks ago, you know, and they went to IKEA and they share and they pray with people and they got healed. That was so amazing, you know, and some of the people never done that before. And a couple of weeks ago, I had an opportunity to visit Andrew and his wife's house, and this is their housekeeper. Okay, so I went over there, and then basically Andrew was saying, oh, this is our housekeeper. I think she would like to pray to accept Christ. And I was so overjoyed. I said, okay, let's pray right now. And she prayed to accept Christ, and she was so happy. And then last week, during the Hope Multiplied Conference of Practical Evangelism, how many of you were in the practical evangelism? Okay, there's a number of you. Yeah, we got to share the gospel to these seniors, and we had Nicole praying in the background. She was praying really hard, okay? And three new seniors accepted Christ. And now I'm really, really thankful, Lord. And you see all the joy in their faces, you know? And Nicole was saying, when I looked at these elderly people, I saw joy. And then we have Sabrina Lee helping us out in Bright Hope. So every Monday she teaches them like flower arrangement and also teaches them painting, and watercolor painting. And last time we had 26 people come for, you know, the flower arrangement and also 20 people for the painting class. Okay, so God is doing something great. So I'd like to just close my sermon today is this is how we can bear fruit in our lives as the new Israel, to praise and worship him daily, to share his word with others, to display traits of a changed life, and share God's love with those who are around us. So I'd like for us to close our eyes at this moment. I'd like to ask the worship team to come up at this time, and also the prayer intercessors at this time.